The Clip Show. What Will Hardy has to say about the Jazz. This is Round Ball Roundup on UtahJazz.com. I'm JP Chunga on the Utah Jazz Podcast Network, presented by First Colony Mortgage, the official mortgage lender of the Utah Jazz, and MLS number 3112, Equal Housing Lender. Listen to Holly Rowe with Danny Ainge. Covers the ending of the season, plans for off-season, right here in the feed. As far as this podcast, I wanted to let you hear from Will, what he had to say about the players. He talked about everybody this year. And at this point, if you don't have a Darius Bazley opinion, you're not a sicko. What's a sicko? You know it when you see it.
I'm a basketball sicko.
The idea is to hit on every player under contract next season. So Chris Dunn, not under contract. Not going to have a soundbite devoted to him. But I think you can hear, especially listening to the Danny podcast with Holly Rowe, how much the Jazz value Chris Dunn, hearing what they had to say throughout the year, how much he added to the group in terms of personality, what Chris Dunn brings. But as a free agent, what's going to happen to him? That can be another podcast down the road. But now it's about recapping the season. So let's start. Lauri Markkanen, team's best player. He proved last season was no fluke. Put up similar numbers on 48% from the field, 39% from three, 88% from the free throw line. That's pretty good. Now, it's about leadership and in those key situations, getting him the ball.
I mean, I think Lauri has really, really improved from the beginning of the season to now. Recognizing how he's being guarded when the game starts. I think the beginning of the year, it would take him a good chunk of the game to adjust to how different teams are guarding him. I think he's done a really good job with his preparation going into the games, kind of knowing what to expect a little bit more. This last part of the season, I would like to continue to see Lauri add to his ability to punish switches. We've had some nights where he's done a really good job. Like, I think about the Oklahoma City game, and I thought that his size and physicality really helped us against their switching. You're not always going to be able to bury people in the middle of the paint, and so the switch attack, we've seen a couple of them lately where he's getting the ball around the elbow, the nail area, continuing to grow in that area because, you know, he's got size, strength, and he can shoot. And I do think that there are times where you need to give the ball to somebody versus a switch, and you need to space properly, and then they're the one that makes the decision. It's not a situation that Lowry's been in a ton during his career, and so I'm hopeful that we can continue to put him in that spot as much as it makes sense. Like, I don't want to turn each game into, like, hey, let's see how many ISOs we can get Lauri, but I do think that there are opportunities, especially end of quarter, you start getting in the bonus, things like that, where getting him those touches in that spot over and over and over again, it's going to give him an opportunity to learn. Breakdown workouts, stuff after practice, you're teaching different reads, but it's all very easy to see in that setting when the temperature is up in a game and it's all happening fast and the physicality's there and the other team's really coming after you. I think that's where you're going to see a lot of growth. And I think for us moving forward, Lauri adding that to his game to a point where he's looking for it and it's not just me calling it is going to be really good for us.
Goes back to the team having the IQ to look for Lauri. Getting on the same page. Having somebody set him up. That's what he needs to excel at his level. Jordan Clarkson. He's the longest tenured Jazz man. His contract decreases from $23 million to $14 million. He's somebody that Will needed in that locker room to translate to the group.
Jordan and I have had a lot of conversations over the last year about his role being very different with this group than maybe it's been on other teams. You know, Jordan is an incredibly gifted player. His basketball IQ is not talked about enough. He's a very low maintenance person. And so you're right. Sometimes the conversations aren't around JC because in some ways it's, you know, death, taxes, and JC. It just is. But he's really stepped up as a leader this year. I've said to Jordan directly, like, I've been really, really impressed with the way that he's carried himself throughout camp, the way that he has helped the young players on the team, the way that he's helped a guy like John Collins, who's new to our team. Jordan has been a huge resource for me as a coach. I bounce things off Jordan all the time. And proud of him for the step he made last year in his playmaking. I think it's something that needs to continue this year. Certain teams need certain things from players, and other teams that Jordan has been a part of, they've really needed him to score, and our team needs him to do more than just score. So Jordan is somebody that, like, you know, we just need him to expand, and he's been very, very good about trying to do that. But the way that he's carried himself throughout camp has been remarkable. He's stepped up in a big way. I think we all think of JC sometimes as like this gunner, but he's way more than that as a basketball player.
He really did change the narrative on him. That's cool to see somebody not get boxed into a specific lane of just being one guy. And that leads me to my favorite soundbite of the entire season. It was in January. It's about Colin Sexton. Colin was on a roll. He was playing out of his mind. 20-point per game scorer on efficiency out of this world. He was a 50-40-90 guy. And doing it within himself and with the playmaking. It allowed Will to go on one before the Pacers game.
Collins had way more of an impact on me than he would think. I've learned a lot coaching Colin. You know, I think he's one of the most endearing players I've ever been around because of his effort every day and his attitude every day. I think there was a lot of narrative about Colin when he was first traded here as somebody who scored a lot in Cleveland but wasn't on winning teams. Only thought about scoring, blah, 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 whatever it is. And I think that, you know, that probably seeped into my head a little bit last year. It would be like taking somebody on a date but calling their ex first. I'm not sure why you would ever do that, but that's the world we live in. Like, everybody comes with a narrative. And I needed to look in the mirror in the off season and have a little bit of humility about mine and Colin's relationship and just try to take it at face value. I needed to take Colin at face value and just go, hey, whatever happened before he got to Utah means nothing to me. And how has he been with me every day? How has he been with our team every day? And he's always done everything that I've asked. He's never complained. He has never come to my office and asked for more playing time. He has never asked for more shots. He's never questioned what we were doing. He just continues to work every day. He takes coaching. He lets me coach him very hard. You know, there have been moments in last season that were caught on camera where people see Colin and I getting into it, and there's no anger behind that. That's us trying to solve problems and get on the same page and for him to understand what I'm asking him to do. And, you know, this off season for me was about kind of resetting myself as it relates to Colin. And trying to just put him in the best possible situation to succeed. It doesn't mean that Colin doesn't drive me crazy at times. He does, and he knows that, and I'm sure that I drive him crazy too. But we've recently had a conversation where I've told him, like, I'm not going to stop being a pain in the ass. That's my job. And I need to try to continue to help him get better. And I think this season we've seen Colin get better from the beginning of this season to now. Some of that is conversations he and I have had. A lot of that is the work that he's doing with Evan Brads and our assistant coaches. And it's Colin. Like, he's bought into what we're trying to do, and he's gotten better. So, you know, I've learned a lot about coaching through dealing with Colin, because I think he was somebody that really came in with a lot of narrative around the type of player that he is. And I probably let that impact me too much last year. But, you know, he's somebody that has shown me that, like, you don't need to listen to any of that at all. You need to just take people at face value for how they are when they get here and what they do when they're with our team. And he's a big reason why we're playing well right now. He's his energy's infectious on both ends of the floor. He's a heck of a player, and we're lucky to have him.
The honesty, the change in stature about that guy. He's so easy to root for, Colin Sexton. Obvious energy guy. I will always find him running into the locker room with Jalen Brunson as one of the funniest moments of the NBA season. I can't get enough of Colin Sexton. I can't. First year for John Collins. And it took some time for him to get his feet under him. But when he did, there were ways that he could open up the Jazz offense. Here's Will after a particularly good game, 30-11 after Houston.
John's done a really, really good job of mixing in popping and rolling. It makes him a tough cover because the defense can't prepare for one thing. That's where he's given us a huge lift on the offensive end based on who's guarding him, based on what spacing we're running. He's able to mix up popping and rolling. It makes him a dynamic threat. The second thing that John has done incredibly well is how tenacious he is on the glass. He doesn't always get the ball, especially on the offensive end going to the glass, but he's able to get some tip outs and keep some plays alive for us. You know, John has had a good season. It's tough to transition to a new place. I think he's taken it all in stride, probably frustrated earlier in the season with how it was going for him, but he's a real pro and does the work every day, doesn't complain. And so it's nice to see him have a night like tonight.
Walker Kessler. He got a lot of talk because of how the season went. Most notable thing out of locker cleanout was he'll be with the Jazz in Summer League. And I want to see how he does with the rookies being a more veteran player and those potential draft picks. Here's what Will said when I asked him about Walker's year.
Walker, his season was okay. Obviously had some injuries to start, and expectations are always a unique thing because they can mess with your emotions. I think if you had told me when we traded for Walker 2 years ago that this is the point in the map that he would be at 2 years in, I would have been happy. But he probably overachieved in his first year, and then this year, you know, he felt like he didn't play his best for a variety of reasons. And so it makes you feel different. It's like being 500. If you win the first two and lose the second two, you feel bad. If you lose the first two and you win the second two, you feel good. But you're still 500. So I like where Walker is at in terms of, you know, his progress over the first 2 years of his career. Now it's about attacking this summer and doing a lot of work on his body, continuing to hone himself on the offensive end. And, you know, for all of Walker's good moments defensively, he can still get so much better. There's things from a technique standpoint, from an understanding standpoint, a communication standpoint that he needs to continue to grow at to become the centerpiece of a good defense.
They need him to be that guy because the defense as a whole wasn't good enough. A lot of that was transitioned, but Walker's taxed with a lot. Hopefully this year he'll have a healthier summer and get that chemistry with the young guys in Summer League. Speaking of, first let's hear what Will had to say about those rookies as a group. They played a lot of minutes together with the vets out of the lineup down the stretch. Was it too much on their plate? Here's what Will had to say.
We have asked too much. And, you know, the struggles are showing themselves. I think all of our young players are sort of right where they're supposed to be. It doesn't concern me that there have been struggles. I think in a lot of ways it's good for them because it keeps you humble. It keeps you working. It shows you the level that you need to get to be able to play at a high level every night in this league. You can get tricked by having a good game here and there or having a couple of good games, but the season's 82 games long, and there's a lot of days that you don't feel your best physically, that you'd feel a little fatigued mentally, and the best players are the ones that are able to push through that. I think all of our young guys have represented themselves pretty well, but they're young. They're in their first years in the NBA, and lately, for sure, they've been asked to do more than we anticipated asking of them, but there's nothing like feeling that in a game. So it doesn't concern me. Like, I know that lately we've asked a lot of those guys. You see with a player like Keyonte, for example, when Lowry and JC don't play, the level of attention that he draws on the offensive side of the ball is far different than when those two guys play. And, you know, Taylor playing heavier minutes, Bryce playing a lot of minutes, it's uncharted territory for them. So you just try to use all those opportunities to teach, show them where they can get better. But the game also, you know, tells them as well. Like, there are some things that are they can go unsaid because they feel it in the game.
I think about those games and I say yes, too much, too quick. But what's real about those moments are the flashes, what you see from them that can translate to being on really talented teams. Taylor Hendricks, you'd ask him to guard some of the best players on the floor, and he did that. He blocked Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler. And offensively, keeping it simple, we'll ask him to crash the car going 120 miles per hour. And there were moments when he was playing with reckless abandon. Will was asked, what else did he like?
I've been very pleased with his cutting. Cutting is a part of our offense. There's certain spots on the floor based on our spacing where your job is to cut to free up space for others. I think the first couple of games, Taylor didn't do a great job of that. I think he showed himself very well crashing, which is not the same. And I felt like against Miami, like, he made some really big strides, and he had a couple of plays where he recognized the spacing quickly, cut hard and on time. You know, and he actually ended up getting rewarded for one of those. He got a tip in, I think it was a Colin, like, baseline jump shot. And Taylor slashed when he was supposed to, and he ended up getting the tip in because of it. So, yeah, I think those types of things are what stand out to me, because that's like little non-glamorous execution. Like, nobody wants to be the cutter, believe me. Like, if you ask the guys in the locker room, nobody wants to be that guy, but sometimes you end up in that spot and you recognize, like, oh, it's my turn. And I think Taylor's done a really good job of that.
Keyonte George, he got more and more put on him as the season went on, starting on his birthday, playing consistently in the rotation. He grew into a very confident player.
He's not as shy as he was beginning of the year. I feel like even the first 10 games or so that he started, I felt like the shots he was taking, he was doing it a little bit half-heartedly. Like, he was trying to make sure that he was doing the right thing, if that makes sense. I think lately his confidence level and aggression looking for his own shots, especially the threes off the dribble, is at a much different level. He's not, you know, quote-unquote asking for permission anymore. He knows and has confidence in the reads that he's making. And, you know, he and I have talked a lot about the first option in pick and rolls with him is if he comes off and he's open, he's got to shoot it. It's going to be what's best for him and ultimately what's best for us long term, because if you have a primary ball handler that can shoot the ball off the dribble, defenses react to the first action of a possession very differently than if you don't. And I think him continuing to have that aggressive mindset when he has the ball in his hands is what's going to be best for us long term.
There were five games where Keyonte launched 10-plus threes, and they were all in the second half of the season. Bryce Sensabaugh, offensively gifted, not playing summer league, impacted him and Taylor. There isn't a soft landing. You're going straight into preseason against pros. So this year, hopefully you'll get those reps in summer. But ultimately, Will liked when he played clutch time against Chicago, and he didn't stick out.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. You know, we're obviously playing mostly in those moments through JC and Colin. He made a really tough pull-up going left, which I thought was a big play for us. He definitely didn't look shy. So, you know, that coupled with, you know, his execution at the end, you know, doing what he was supposed to do on those last two plays. You know, I think Bryce showed some maturity being out there at the end of the game and, you know, definitely not looking out of place. Like, I mean this in a good way. I didn't notice Bryce at the end of the game. And generally when you're not running actions through somebody, not noticing them can mean that they're doing their job very well.
Let me tell you about First Colony Mortgage. They've been serving the lending needs of Utah for more than 35 years. As a mortgage banker, First Colony Mortgage offers advantages over other lenders. Not only do they process mortgages, they also underwrite, fund, and close mortgage loans all in-house. Their expert team is ready to help you with your home financing needs. Just check them out. First Colony Mortgage, the official mortgage lender of the Utah Jazz. Non-guaranteed guys still have a contract. Omer Yurtseven, he got tasked to start after Will went off after Portland. Omer, he stayed ready.
His physicality has really stood out for our team all year. He is a real presence in the paint, not only as a finisher, but his physicality rebounding, even the ones that he doesn't get. He has a really good job of wedging people under the basket, fighting for his space on the glass. And then on the offensive side of the ball, like, he has shown kind of a wide variety of skills. He's got good touch with both hands, but his screen setting has really helped our team. We need help to create an advantage, and Omer has been a big part of that.
Darius Bazley, you should have an opinion on him. It was a swing on talent. He's one of those highly touted recruits coming out of high school, took a roundabout way to get to the professional ranks. He impressed Will when he played against the Nuggets.
I really like Darius. He brings an energy to the game. The thing first and foremost for him is I think he impacts the game defensively. I think he moves his feet well. He's got pretty good length. He communicates well defensively. Offensively, I see him being kind of like a point forward at times, where he can be a playmaker taking the ball to the second side. I think he's open a little bit more than he's getting the ball against switches in kind of that hit under short roll, the slip out. You know, he does a pretty good job of that stuff. So I think I see him as, you know, what number do you want to call him? It's hard to know what number anybody is now, but he's a sort of a playmaking point forward at times. Crasher, cutter, his shooting is improving. He's showing some confidence in his shooting. But, you know, I think he's a pretty versatile player in this sort of era of basketball. He's switchable defensively, and he can do a couple of different things offensively. I think he's got a nice game.
Kenny Lofton, a fun player to watch. He just gets it. Knows how to play. So many skills. Will talked about him after a win against the Rockets.
You know, Kenny is a very smart offensive player. He's got great vision, great feel. And so we felt like getting the ball to him on some of those switches where doubles may come would free up some guys on the backside cutting, and we would use him as a little bit of a playmaker, not only in the post, but off the elbow, off the nail, and sometimes in the pocket and pick and roll. I thought he made a lot of really, really good decisions with the ball. It wasn't just about, you know, 14 points he scored. I thought he drew a lot of attention and made the right reads more times than not. And that type of playmaking, you know, obviously was a big part of us winning the game.
So there you have it. Will, after the season. 5 stars, nice reviews, that's all I ask of you. Let others know that you're listening to the podcast. It's called Round Ball Roundup. I'm diving deep into the draft, and if you listen to this podcast before, during this time of year, you know I love it. I write out my reports, I do my deep dives, I talk to experts, I have draft nicks on, decision makers, everybody in between. I love this. Love the fit. Good match of player and scheme. So stick around for the draft coverage on the podcast. Plenty coming in the feed as we continue in the offseason and enjoy the playoffs. Am I an idiot for buying in on the Mavs? Potentially. JP Chunga, Round Ball Roundup, UtahJazz.com.